Our Lenten journey began just this past Wednesday with Ash Wednesday, and now we are into our first Sunday of Lent. Now, the three pillars of Lent are prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And also during these 40 days, many of us will sacrifice something, whether it be alcohol in the evening, perhaps it's those sweets, or even the snacks in between meals. And in place of that, well, we're going to take on a practice. Well, maybe for your Lenten season this year, a practice you can take on? Listening to Mater Dei Radio. And more specifically, why not listen to the glory of the Mass? All throughout Lent, you will be able to hear beautiful sacred music designed just for this Lenten season. Well, this first Sunday of Lent is going to kick things off. And joining me today is our good friend Terry Ross to give us a little bit of preview of what he's got in store to get us ready for this Lenten season. Good morning, Terry. Thanks so much for joining us today.
As always, it's my pleasure.
Well, Terry, as we lead towards Easter, that highest feast day of our calendar, it is a time of preparation. I would imagine all of the big composers knew that, made music for this time of year specifically.
They sure did. They absolutely did. We're going to feature a composer from Germany named Hans Leo Hassler. H-A-S-S-L-E-R. He wrote a mass, or parts of a mass anyway, called the Missa Octo Vocum, eight-voice mass.
Okay.
So there's eight different parts singing, and we'll hear the Kyrie, the Gloria, and the Agnus Dei from that mass.
So why would eight be a number for a choir, eight voices? Is there something unique about the different, you know, sounds of their voice that eight would be a number to give us the fullest range of music?
Yes. Normally, we divide the choir into four parts.
Okay.
Soprano, alto, tenor, and bass, going from top to bottom. An eight-voice choir just doubles that.
Okay.
So there's two soprano parts, two alto parts, two tenor parts, and two bass parts.
Then in looking at each of those parts, if he thought, okay, this is going to be music for an eight-voice choir, do each one of those voices, the soprano, the alto, and all those, are they both singing the same pieces, or now do they each have soprano pieces that are different from each other versus what altos are singing? Are those different from each other? Or would there be maybe two voices singing the exact same thing?
It depends, but okay. you can have voices singing the exact same thing, but more frequently you have voices coming in at different times, like the round, row, row, row your boat.
You know, okay.
Row, row, row your boat. Row, row, row. And the next person starts. This is the same thing. They just start at different times.
Okay. Excellent. Terry Ross joining us today as we get a preview of the first Sunday of Lent and a special episode that he has for Glory of the Mass. All right. So we're going to feature some music in this one, and you have some beautiful things picked out. Of course, today we're going to hear a special piece by William Burden. We've talked about William Byrd before, and remind our listeners a little bit about him.
William Byrd is an English composer born in the sort of the early part of the 16th century. He lived into the 17th century. You can think of him as kind of a contemporary of Shakespeare's. And he was a Catholic, and that wasn't an easy thing to be in England during the time of Henry VIII. Because he and his teacher, Thomas Tallis, were so talented and so prolific as musicians, they were able to sort of skirt the laws and continue to write music in Latin, although no one else did. Nevertheless, Byrd wrote several masses, a three, a four, and a five-part mass. None of them was ever performed in an open church ceremony. They were performed in people's houses.
I see.
Yeah, and they were in danger. If the police burst into your house while you're doing a Latin mass, you could be arrested and sent off to jail. But with Byrd and Tallis, things were relaxed quite a bit because they were so good.
Now, we're going to listen to a motet today. Now, remind our listeners what that means, a motet. How does that set it aside from the other parts of music that we would listen to?
That's a good question, but I think generally it's safe to say that a motet is a piece in Latin.
Okay.
As opposed to some other language. And it doesn't have to be a sacred thing. It can be a secular motet as well.
Oh, okay.
But we're going to hear, actually, I chose three motets for this program, all of them on the same text. justorum anime. That is called the souls of the just are in the hands of God. That's from the Book of Wisdom. I've got one by Bird that we're going to hear a little bit of here in a minute. I've got one by Palestrina, by Orlando di Lasso, and that's a pretty good selection of great Renaissance composers.
Well, you just mentioned a moment ago, you said that William Byrd was taught by another great composer.
Thomas Tallis.
And we know that you have had Thomas Tallis on your show before. With that, as an instructor, Tallis would have been an instructor. Would people have been sent to study under him? Like, are there other composers that had students who also went on to be great composers the way that Tallis had Byrd, who also went in to be a great composer also?
There are many of those.
Really?
A whole bunch of them in what we now call the Low Countries, Netherlands and Belgium. They were all people that worked together. Sometimes one would be a choir boy in the choir that was directed by the other person, but they were learning how to compose at the same time. So, yeah.
Well, after listening to this, I think that Thomas Tallis would indeed be very proud of his student, William Byrd. Here is that piece for you now. Beautiful motet, definitely to sing the praises to God. Now, is this choir that we are listening to, is that an eight-voice choir?
No, they don't have to be an eight-voice choir to sing this motet. It's the mass, it's in eight voices.
Oh, I see.
But they could divide into an eight-voice choir. They just have sopranos sing two different parts, etc. That is, the same choir can be a three-voice choir, a four-voice choir, a five-voice choir, a six, however you want to divide up the singers.
I understand. Yeah. Well, William Byrd, as I said, has been on your show previously. Maybe share with our listeners what it is about this composer that you are always keen to hearing and the things that you love about the way he writes music.
Well, I think he's very spiritual in his music writing. You can always feel the belief behind his music. He's not using technique just to show off, although he had all the technique you could possibly desire. His music is always very well put together, but also surprising. Mm-hmm. He can go in slightly different directions. He's he's one of a kind, William Byrd, and one of the great composers of the 16th century.
Oh, perfect. Well, if that piece is any indication of the depth and library of his compositions, well, what a gift to the world he was. Well, Terry, you are a gift to Mater Dei Radio. We thank you for your time. We love Glory of the Mass, and I sure appreciate your time today.
Well, thank you very much.
And again, that is Terry Ross. His show is The Glory of the Mass. Now, if you head over to our webpage under the programming menu, you will find The Glory of the Mass and also the playlist of all of the music that you hear on his show. You can find all of that if you head over to materdeiradio.com.